Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Angels, and it's Thursday night, and we've got a great show scheduled for you and those who are listening now or who will download it later. I was really happy. A lot of you guys listened live on Saturday to my dad, Gene Abbott. It's nice to have him on a show with me, and he's becoming a part of our family here, our Angel Network, Angel Coaches Network, and he's a great coach himself. I've learned so much from him over the years, and the reason why I'm successful, I think, in my life today and in certain aspects, because it's a journey, right? We're always getting better, is they have great teachers. And my dad was my first teacher, and he taught me how to really interact and communicate with people. He taught me about God and the love for God. And this man, I told him tonight, I said, you want to help people, you want to benefit and help people and also yourself as well and enjoy your life, because he just retired and now he's getting ready to do another aspect or take something new on. And I said, and you also want to make a difference here. So here he is tonight. He's going to speak and share with us about a subject I know he enjoys talking about, and that's Jesus, God, and the Bible. And I'll put it in that order because, Dad, I'm glad you're here, and I know you're going to talk to us tonight about a few things. And welcome to the show again. We're glad you're here. So I meant to tell you, we had one of the biggest downloads of shows so far this week with your show that you did on Saturday, and you guys can access that 24/7, 365 days once the show is recorded. And also, it had a great deal of live listens, too, at first. So it was nice to see as many people listening live. So, Dad, welcome to the show. For all of you guys that want to call him Dad, you can always call him Gene. So you're here, and that's a good thing, right? But I know you got a special subject you want to talk about tonight, and I know that you've meditated and prayed about it. So tell us what you're going to share with us.
Well, I appreciate it, Tate. I was going to listen to the debate tonight, the Republican debate, but they drug me out of it. So, but it's going on now. There's three on the stage, and there's seven coming up shortly. So, anyway, I'm going to talk about a man that I dearly love and a man that I've written about and written several pages so far, because I'm writing a book about the Bible. But I'm putting it in a pure vernacular form of stretching facts as much as I can stretch them. But anyway, we're going to talk about a guy named Abram. Anybody heard of him?
Well, I have.
An old man enters his tent and drops into the door flat behind him. In the darkness, he knelt slowly before the clay fire pot. He was very tired. He blew on the coal until it glowed, and then he bore the spark to the wick of his saucer lamp, and he made a knot in flame. The man's face was lean, wounded, streaked with dust of recent travel. He began to unroll a straw mat for the sleeping, but paused halfway through and lost in thought. Altogether, the tent was a rectangle, soaked in goat skins, and everywhere patched with precious skins of the goat, and across the middle of the tent was a reed screen with three posts dividing the space into two compartments, one for him, or one for the old man, if you want to call him, and one for his wife. These two were all that dwelt in the tent. They were neither children nor grandchildren. They never had been. A vagrant wren slapped at the side of the tent so that it billowed toward it, but the old man didn't move. He's gazing into the finger flame of the lamp. The old man was perhaps 80 years old. Nevertheless, his weirdness did not come from age. In fact, he had a small, wiry body, light and tough as leather. Nor was his eye diminished. He watched with a steadfast gray light awaiting interpretation. He was not an eye old, but a patient one. Nor age then, rather the man made it weary by the day's travel or yesterday's war. His only relative in the entire land of Canaan, even now, from the Euphrates River to the east of the Nile in Egypt, was a nephew who had chosen the easier life. The old man lived in tents. Lot, his nephew, dwelt in the cities of Jordan, the water places, the fertile places, desirable, sweet and green. Like, but lately, four kings of the north had attacked and defeated the five cities of the valley. One of those was Sodom.
Sodom and Gomorrah. I gotcha.
Sodom was the place the Lot had chosen. Among the prisoners, when the northern kings carried away, there was Lot. As soon as the old man heard that his kinmen had taken captive, he armed 318 of his own men, mounted on donkeys, not Arabian horses, and pursued the enemies with enemy light and secret speed. And the night he divided and pursued the enemy, he surprised the northern kings by striking the two sides of at once. He routed them. He drove them home. All their plunder and all their prisoners he brought back to the cities that had been defeated. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Sabbatim, and Zorah. Lot was free again, and again he chose Sodom for his dwelling. Though the men of the palace had a reputation for extreme wickedness, that was yesterday. Today the king of Salem offered the old man all the plunder he had returned, but the old man refused. Today, the priest, King Melchizedek. I love to talk to you about Melchizedek, but I've got Abram on my mind, so I'm not going to do it. Came forth with the bread and wine to honor the old man, and he honored him, saying, "Blessed are you. Blessed, too, be the God of the Most High, who delivers your foe into your hand." And today, the old man had come back to his tents, again near the oaks of Mamre, tired. Today in the evening, his wife had baked him barley cake, though he ate scarcely anything. She was safe, eat nothing at all. "Is the young man safe?" "Yes," he told her. "And his children?" "Well, sure." "How are children of the man who lives with the walls of houses, and we live in tents?" "Safe," said the old man. "They're home then." Lot's contented among his children then. Sarah was really upset. Lot looked upon the consolation of old age because he had had an uncle who saves him when his own choices gets him in trouble. The old man said nothing. "Because he has a good uncle," she continued, "a generous uncle. An uncle whose wife never did put the first bite of barley cake into the mouth of her own child, because she had none." It was then the old man rose and left his food unfinished. He trudged toward the dust to his own side of the tent, entered and pulled the flap down, and lit the lamp and fell to staring at the single flame that straw man only half unrolled in front of him. He was very tired. He was kneeling, sitting back on his heels. He maintained that position, unwinking, unsleeping, through the entire first watch of the night. All this sound had gone since all the, I can't even talk. The sense had long since ceased outside. The encampment slept. His wife finally fell asleep on the other side of the reed screen. She was sleeping alone. Then in the middle of the night, God's God ever spoken to you? "Fear not,
yeah.
Abram," God said, "call the old man by name. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Abram did not move. He did not so much as shift an eye toward the orange lamp. But his jaw tightened. God said, "Abram, northward of this place, southward and eastward and westward, all the land as far as you can see, I'll give you to your descendants forever." But he had no children. Still motionless, so softly that the wind outside concealed the sound of it even from his own ears, breathed these words, "So you have said. So you have said. What, O Lord God, can you give us along as we continue childless?" And when took hold of the flap, she lifted like a lemon. The lamp flame guttered and went out. And God said, "Abram, come outside." On his hands and knees, the old man obeyed. And God said, raise your eyes to the skies. Look at the stars, Abram. Count them. I want you to count them right now. The old man said, I cannot count them. There are too many. Even so, said the Lord, shall your descendants be upon the earth. With the same gaze that he had earlier turned upon the lamp, Abram gazed toward heaven. Now there was no wind at all. The air was absolutely still. Nothing moved in the land, except the naked head, the signing of his old wife inside the compartment. He said, it is required then that a slave born within my household must be my heir. No, God said, your own son shall be your heir. Abram said, how shall I know that? How can I know when you have given us an offspring? Then the word of the Lord came to the old man. Abram, have you seen how a king will by covenant establish his promise with his servants? Tomorrow, Abram, tomorrow, prepare a beast I have. I am the Lord who brought you and give to you. I am the Lord who brought you here to give you this land. Tomorrow I will make a covenant with you, and thereby shall you but surely know my promises are you. That was called the Abrahamic covenant. On the following morning, the old man rose early, without explanation to any of his household, neither his wife nor his servants. He took a heifer from the herd, a she-goat and a ram, all 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. This beast led to the high ground to a bare and lonely place where he tethered them. Abram bound his robe to his waist and the sleeves to his elbows so that nothing hung loose. It took a long copper knife and quick cuts to either side of their necks. He slaughtered the animals. They sank down and then died without protesting. The old man drove the knife into the heifer at the top of her breastbone. Mighty, he yanked the blade across and down, whacking the bone, slicing flesh and cutting carcass into two separate parts. He did the same for the goat and the ram, but he did not cut the birds in two. Halves of each animal laid on the ground and opposite each other, creating a very pathway to the center of their bodies. By late afternoon, blood and the raw meat had drawn birds of prey to the sky about this lonely place. They circled lower and lower and lower on watch of wings. Finally, in their hunger, they tried to land, but Abram ran at them, shouting, waving his arms. The old man exhausted himself that day, driving the great raptor birds back into the cairn, protecting animals from the covenant of God. But then as the sun was going down, it was more weariness that came upon him, and deep sleep seized Abram. Dread and marvelous darkness swept over him, and he sank to the ground helpless. When the sun was altogether gone and the whole world had descended in a perfect night, there was a smoking fire pot sailing through the dark, a furnace of smoke and a flaming torch. And it passed through the hands of the animals, that the Lord God made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give you this land, from the river Egypt to the Green River, the river Euphrates, the land of Canaanites, Kizanites, Cammonites, Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And Abram slept on. When Abram returned to his tents the following day, he bathed himself and carefully buried his clothes, but told no one where he had gone, what he had done, and why he had come back caked with blood. Sarah, for her part, was even more anxious than her husband regarding the promise of God. Abram had entered his 85th year, and she herself was 75. Oh, Lord, we are childless. As the day you first gave us hope to my husband and me, that hope has been planted a full 10 years ago. Sir was intensely time aware of the time, and she suffered the passage of barren months since then. Coming of the promises of God, for the Lord had said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. A nation begins with the birth of one child. And where is that child? Have you forgotten us? Often the old woman placed her hand upon her sunken belly and thought, where is my child? Sarah admitted she had been unrestrained laughter and dancing when the Lord God interpreted their quiet lives. It became a gossip of their city. Old Sarah thinks she's about to bear a baby. It might have been an embarrassment to Abram, but he had already not planned on ready to leave. They were living in Aaron at the time, far north of this dry place in the city of Balak, not in tents and houses. And finally, the friends surrounded them, and they were childless. By the time Abram was 70s, they seemed content. Long ago, Sarah had ceased to speak of children. She scarcely believed that she had accepted her sad fate. One night, Abram came and woke her up, his face ashen, his eyes smoky, enormous. His voice was gentle, ghostly. Sarah, Sarah, he whispered, prepare to leave. Leave? Where? Is your father sick again? Sarah was failing in years and often called his own son to his side. Abram did not acknowledge the question. He looked at the blackened candle, weak, rigid, and unbreakable. The Lord God has commanded me to go to a land where he will show me. The man said, his voice issuing from his throat like wind from a cave. He made marvelous promises, and he says he will make me a great nation and bless me and make my name so great that I will be a blessing. I will bless those who make my name great. I will bless those who bless you, he said, and him curse to you, I will curse. By you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. Sarah, get ready to go. We got to go. And then when Abram had departed into the night, Sarah began to pant. She bowed her head, covered her face with both hands, burst into tears. A great nation starts with a single child. Sarah, Abram's wife, was going to have a baby. She could scarcely stand the sweetness of her little womb. A baby. Let people gossip about her strange behavior and the impossible expectation. Nothing bothers Sarah now. And then she traveled from Haran and without complaint. She and Abram and his nephew Lot and their servants and their cattle, no matter that no one knew they were going. God of our husband was headed toward them. A great anticipation made the old woman young again. Blood flowed.
Wow.
Brightly in Sarah's face. No matter that they now became wondrous livings in tents, no matter that when Abram and his nephew had divided their flocks and families, Lot chose houses, none of that mattered. Because she had received a promise from God. She had been barren and was about to have a baby, or so she thought. But that was 10 years ago. She still had that baby. And the bloom had long since faded from Sarah's face. Moreover, womanhood was dead as leather within her. And the uncle seemed to wither now. Yet God had aroused the desire of Sarah, and it would not lie down and die again. Every night it plucked her heart. Where is it? Where is the child of my own womb? Sarah never did attempt her fate. Not after her laughter and dancing trust with all the changes cause in her life. Therefore, she took matters in her own hand. We all do that. They remembered a custom of Aaron. A certain while away was so slow to solve the problem of woman's barrenness. Perhaps Abraham left most of his past in that land, but the promise of God must not be left behind, neither was Sarah leaving behind. The final choice of a child or chance for a child of her own. Abram, I have an idea. They were sitting outside eating supper. Sarah leaves after he had returned from the bloody and private ceremony. He explained the blood, and he had not explained the blood. She hadn't asked. There was a latter part of the meal. Sarah had cut a melon into parts and was eating them slowly. What's your idea, he said. She cast her eyes to the side, now cutting melon for herself. I would not object, she said, if you like my idea and acted upon it. Another one might object, but I would not. In fact, I would be grateful. Excuse me, let me get a drink of water. Abram put his sticky finger to her tongue. What is your idea, he said. You know, my maidservant, of course, is just carefully cutting the rind from the fruit. Yep. Hagar, that sturdy woman whom we brought north from Egypt. That one, she is young and a good servant. Yes, said Abram. I know her. What's your idea? Have you had enough? Abram simply sat and gazed at his wife. Finally, she laid the piece of raw fruit aside, wiped her hands with oil in her lap, and lifted her eyes to her husband. When certain wives are not able to bear children, she said, they bring their maidservants to their husbands, and they invite their husbands to go into their maidservants in order that they, the barren wives, might have a manner of child. For if the maid bears a baby upon the knees of her mistress, remember this, if the maid bears a baby upon the knees of her mistress, the child becomes the mistress. Abraham, if you wish to do such a thing, Hagar, my maidservant, I would not object. For a long time, the old man continued to gaze at the old woman. She lowered her eyes. It was just an idea. And Abraham was up to the likeness of it. He said, bring her to me. He rose and retired to his room in the tent. Hagar was not pretty, but Sarah declared her handsome. She had chosen the one in the first place because she had large hands and large feet and strength and bones and bones like tent stakes. Only recently, Sarah had noted the gorgeous width of her hips. Room, wide, black eyed, broad head. Not much learning, of course, but room. On the morning after Hagar had slept, Sarah saw for the first time that hair was long, glossy, and black. One might call it beautiful. The same morning, she commanded her maidservant to cut her short. It had always interfered with the work, she said. And then she saw that Hagar was a maidservant had conceived. The Egyptian's complexion glowed dark. Fiercely, their eyes and teeth were shocks of ways, and she began to show her teeth more and more smiling. And Sarah knew of certainty that Hagar, too, was going to have a baby.
Wow.
She stood up and swaggered out of the room, and Sarah sat down. The midwife lowered her face and said nothing. On the following day, Sarah found Hagar sitting in the side of the shade, Abram's tent, with a bowl of figs. Sarah stood before her. You struck me. Because they hadn't had an argument about Hagar and Abram, Sarah. Sarah and Hagar got mad. She struck her. Hagar said, yes, and I told the master, your husband, that I was sorry. But I told him too. That he didn't mean to hurt me. He said that I'm soft and you're bony. I think you understand the difference, don't you? Or said that maybe I am tender to them because I am on the way of a woman. And maybe you aren't rough because you are not. Sir, open her mouth to answer, but groaning instead, humiliating sound. So then she shouted her words, "It's your turn. Go get water." And Hagar said, "I'm sorry, it has commanded me to rest if I am obeying Hagar." Next time Sarah brought the practice of bearing this infant upon her knees, Hagar said, "Perhaps that won't be necessary anymore." Straightway, Sarah gathered her robe around like a storm rising from the sea, and she went in search of Abram. This was a country of grassy hills from which one could see many miles around. There he was. There was Abram. And even before she had reached the flocks, Sarah yelled out, old man, maybe the wrong done to me upon my head, old man." Her flesh was mottled and brown by age and harsh weather. Her head grown limp and thin and colorless. Nevertheless, when her body went taut with anger and her eyes gazed, Sarah was young again, a warrior. The woman whom he embraced, she shouted, "The woman who now conceived, my servant," she looked upon me with contempt. "I will not abide by it, Abram. I will not, and the Lord will have to judge between me, you, and therefore." Abram stood facing her as she approached. When she paused to draw a breath, that was amazing, she paused to draw a breath. "She's in your power, sir. Do as you please. I won't interfere." He returned to his work. From that forward, if Hagar refused to draw water, Sarah commanded two of her maidservants to carry her by the armpits down to the spring and then to carry her back while she boiled the skin for the water. Soon the maid found strength to go to the water on her own. There was no fix for Hagar now, no naps during the day. She had cut the Egyptian's hair so close to her skull that the skin burned into the sun. Something about that, you don't make a woman mad. When finally Sarah brought the raven back to Hagar, together in a stiff linen cap, and required to make her own long-haired wig. In spite of her condition, she ran away from the tent's bedroom toward the border of her own land, and several months before she returned, exhausted, gaunt, but pregnant still. She told Abram that the angel of the Lord had appeared to her by the spring of the water. The angel had promised her a son, and I'm going to name him Ishmael. The angel said, "For the Lord has heard of your affliction, has become a wild ass of a man. There from him shall come as many as have sins that cannot be numbered or a multitude." So Hagar bore Abram a son, and he named the baby Ishmael. But he had not borne on Sarah's knees. And Sarah was forced to watch some of these things from a distance. And yet from that distance, she saw the look of her husband's face as he laid the baby in the crook of her arm, tenderness. The old man's eyes was dewy. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I am El Shaddai. I am a God Almighty. Walk with me and serve me perfectly." And Abram fell to his face. God said, "Behold, my covenant is with you. No longer shall you name me Abram, but you be called Abraham. For I made you the father of multitudes of nations. And I will likewise establish my covenant with your descendants after your everlasting covenant." I think our time is up, isn't it?
It is, Dad. But why don't you do this again? So that's part one. We'll do this in two parts. How about that? Wouldn't that be good? Is that okay? Are you cool with that? Because I'm sure that, because I'm intrigued. It's like I'm enjoying listening, and I never listen. I'm usually talking. But let's do that. All right. So we'll have the second part of the show. I will put that out to everybody, but I think we'll do it next Thursday at 7, unless we figure out a different time. And wonderful, wonderful story. And then we'll go from there. Is that okay? Because I think we just...
All right, baby. God bless you, and I love you, and have
a good night.
Thank
you. I love you too, Dad. All right, you too. Bye-bye.